fun, that you're enjoying yourself. But it is so good to see you back. So good to see Sister Tiffany back with us today. Amen, amen. We do miss her when she's not here. Because that she's here, Brother Greg gets to be back here, and we miss him. Amen. And then it is also a delight and honor to have Joe with us today. And this is Jenny's brother. We're so thrilled that you're with us here today. And Jenny, how have we missed you? Amen. We have definitely missed you, and we're so glad to see you here today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, amen. God is good. 1 John chapter number 1. We'll begin reading at verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also, or that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. And I want to spend some time on that today, that your joy may be full. And John put it forth like this. He said, we've heard some things, we've seen some things, we've looked upon it, and our hands have handled it. We have an experience concerning this word of life. And he said, we've seen it, we've heard it. He said, but we're going to declare it. And he said, these things declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And there was a reason why they were not in fellowship. And he said, but I'm telling you this so that you can have fellowship. And he said, it all comes down to this, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And I just simply want to preach for a little while here this morning, a testimony for your joy. Amen. A testimony for your joy. Would you ask the Lord to help us here today? Heavenly Father, we need you here this morning. We need you in this place. We need your divine anointing, your presence, and your spirit to fill this place today. Asking you, sweet Holy Ghost, to reach down and to touch every heart, every life, every situation, circumstance, hidden or known to man's eyes, yet all things are known by you. And I pray, God, that you would take this word today and that you would minister to each and every one. Praying, Lord Jesus, that your divine will would be accomplished amongst us. We bind every spirit, everything, every obstacle that is not of you, so that your spirit might have complete reign in this place. For where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we pray for that this morning, O God. Pray, God, for a divine utterance, Lord, even a word of prophecy that would come upon us and amongst us today. In the name of Jesus, let the anointing destroy the yokes of bondage. Be merciful unto us, God, and we'll be quick to give you the thanks and the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. To be able to get an understanding of the reasoning behind John's writing, we look into the historical circumstances, the situations, the events, the groups that are there, that are happening at this particular time. And obviously, John is the last apostle. All the other apostles have gone on by the way of martyrdom. They have been killed. They have been crucified upside down, and they are deceased. They no longer live. The books, obviously written by those apostles, are have been written, and though they may not be in print, they are out and amongst the churches of necessity. Obviously, Paul's writing to the church in Rome and to the other places have already reached there and done their part. They will be distributed unto the church as a canonical body, like we would call the Bible or the scriptures in time. And so John, being the last apostle, being the last disciple upon the face of the earth, has been banished at one particular time to the Isle of Patmos there. And being there upon the Isle of Patmos, we see that God came and visited him. And he would write the book of Revelations there as God visited him. But there are other things that have happened. The book of Jude has been written by this time, and I only go back to it and make reference to it because Jude simply said that, he said, "Brethren, I gave all diligence unto you," or to write unto you concerning the common salvation. He said, I gave all diligence. So Jude was giving diligence, ascribing to do his best to write the gospel unto the church. Matthew had written unto the Jews, Mark had written to the Romans, and Luke had written unto the Greeks, but nobody had really written unto the church at the particular time. And Jude, trying his very best to do that, said, "I gave all diligence to write unto you concerning the common salvation." Jude was wanting to fulfill what Matthew, Mark, and Luke had not done at that time, just writing to the common church. Obviously, others had written unto it, were in the process of writing during the times of Jude, but there was something that bled over into Jude's spirit that caused him to not be able to write concerning the common salvation. And so he began to talk about these things and stating that there were certain men that have crept in unawares and that they have taken over. They are filling pulpits and they are espousing and putting forth false doctrine. And Jude comes against the poison of the false doctrine. Jude comes against every aspect of it. He begins to talk about that they were as Balaam that had fallen with his eyes open. They have went in the way of Bane. They have erred after the well of, after the error of Balaam, went into the way of Cain. And so he begins to talk about these the falsehoods, the concepts that are there that is against the church. And so John, first of all, recognizes this, and John would write his epistles unto the church. He calls her the lady, the elect lady, and he would write his epistles unto the church, and he would write his gospel unto the church. Even though they were written by the same man, they are written for different reasons. They come from different angles. And even though coming from different angles, they aspire to do the exact same thing. But John was not necessarily calling out the brethren that have crept in unawares. John is not using this time to speak concerning the ones that have went after the ways of Balaam or have taken unto themselves the way of Cain. John is not doing that. John is, in a way, he is exposing this false doctrine, but he is not doing it by specifying and calling out these individuals. I believe that there is a time to call out these individuals. Peter even called him out. Paul called him out. He spoke very specifically concerning the error of Hymenaeus and Philetus, concerning the doctrine that we have even fought in our day and time, and speaking that the Lord has already returned for the church. That's not a new doctrine. That is a doctrine that was formed even way back in the Bible times, and they called them out. Why did they call them out? Because they wanted them to know who it was that was spreading the false doctrine. And this is not John's desire today to spell out, to give cadence to the individuals, to the group that is in false doctrine. He is going to do it from a different form. And the way that he has chosen to do it is to expound upon the knowledge, the wisdom, and the desire and the necessity of who that God is. And I am of the firm persuasion, just for instance, anybody that works in banking, they do not teach you per se what a counterfeit $100 bill feels like, but they put you in tune with what is real so much and so often that when you feel something that is different, you recognize there is something different about that. And so even though that I do understand some of the different doctrines and the different religions that are about this world, I have not done much studying into all that the Baptists believe or the Jehovah Witnesses believe or the Trinitarians believe, but I know enough about them. But in doing so, you begin to be able to, when you recognize and understand where they are coming from, you can destroy the foundation that they stand upon. And so John is not looking to do that, but he is rather looking to clarify and to strengthen the foundation and the fundamentals of who God is and what God is. And so John was writing there, and he is fighting heresy from several different aspects, but you're not going to read this in his gospel nor in his epistle. But he is fighting these heresies by ascribing unto truth. There was a particular group called the Ebionites, and they denied the deity of Jesus Christ, and they preached and believed that Christ was just another created being. And John destroys that fallacy by this word here when he begins to ascribe who that God was. The Ebionites had denied the deity of Christ, but John would say in his gospel that God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so he didn't give credence to that, or he didn't even give time to that. He just came against that by stating the facts in chapter 1 and verse 14 of the gospel. And God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Another group at that particular time was the Docetists, and they denied the humanity of Christ. And they preached and believed that Christ had not come in the flesh, but that he was rather some kind of phantom with no corporal being. And so in denying the humanity of Christ, John gives strength unto the humanity in his epistle. When he began to talk about the word of life, and he said, the word of life we have seen with our eyes, we have heard, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled it. Amen. And so he gave the essential humanity of Christ here. But then there were the Corinthians, which denied the union of the two natures of Christ, human and divine. And they believe that Christ descended upon the man Jesus at baptism and departed at his crucifixion. These were the three prominent false doctrines in that day and age. And all you've got to do is read the Gospel of John and the Epistle of John, and you can discredit all three of those. And in reality, we fight against these things and stand against these things even unto this day. And so John, through his writing, emphatically denies this false doctrine, amen, strengthening and helping to edify the church. And so there is a special major emphasis that is put upon all of John's writing. And I have written in the top of my Bible at the beginning of the Gospel of John, I have something written, and in the beginning of the Epistles of John, I have something written to help me to remember and to clarify some things. But there in the Gospel of John, I have written that it is that John is declaring the essential deity of Christ. Amen. This is the Gospel of John. He is declaring the deity, amen, of the man Christ Jesus. God was manifest in the flesh. And in the epistles of John, amen, he declares the essential humanity of Christ. Praise God. Amen. Christ was both God and man. God became what he wasn't, which was human. And he continued to be what he was. God became what he wasn't, which was human, but he continued to be what he was not, or what he was, and that was deity. Amen. He did not forsake deity to become humanity. Amen. And deity did not prevent him from becoming humanity. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares in the book of Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, the Bible declares, amen, that God purchased the church with his own blood. There at the end of that verse, Acts 20 and 28. And I'm trying to find that in my notes, and it's just because I'm old, or at least getting old, and I forgot to put it in my notes. That's why it's not there. But nevertheless, amen, I know that it's in the Scripture. Amen. Acts 20 and 28, he said, amen, that he was there to warn. He ceased not to warn the church both day and night with his tears. Amen. Talking about the church, he said, in whom he hath purchased with his own blood. And we know that God is a spirit. And if God is a spirit, then a spirit does not have flesh and blood. So where did the Spirit get its blood from? Amen. It's very, very evident when God became flesh and dwelt among us that is where God, amen, inhabiting human flesh, amen, got the blood to take to Calvary's cross to set us free. Praise God. Praise God. And so John's message is simply this, that I have to come to declare unto you who that God is. Not like Jude's message to declare what false doctrine had secretly crept in, but he came to declare in his gospel and in his epistle to declare who God is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, which was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Paul said it like this, without controversy, 1 Timothy 3 and 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, for God, which John 4 and 24 teaches us, that is a spirit, and a spirit does not have flesh and blood, and a spirit is not tangible. Amen. But Paul said in 1 Timothy 3 and 16 that God was manifest in the flesh. In other words, God became tangible. God became viewable. God became seeable. God became touchable. God became feelable. Amen. He was manifest in the flesh. And the Bible said on and on that he was justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. You only have to open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter number 10 and see that Peter preached Jesus or preached Christ unto the Gentiles. Paul said that God was preached unto the Gentiles. That's not a discrepancy in spirit or in scripture, but that tells us that Jesus was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in this world. And according to the book of Acts chapter number 1, he was received up into glory while he was yet in their sight, because he was visible, because God was manifest in the Spirit. God was, amen, amen, the Word was made flesh. God was manifest in the Spirit. When you know God, you know Jesus Christ. Amen. When you've seen Jesus Christ, you've seen God. That's what he told, amen, unto the doubters. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I and my Father are one. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Paul went on to say in the book of Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That's personal pronoun. I'm going to just put, amen, the proper noun in the personal pronouns place. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Christ Jesus the Lord, rooted and built up in Christ Jesus the Lord, and established in the faith, as ye have taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in Christ Jesus the Lord, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus isn't in the Godhead. The Godhead is in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not, Jesus isn't part of the Godhead. The entire Godhead is encapsulated in the man Christ Jesus. It does not take away from his deity. Amen. He was God manifest in the flesh. Why? Because he had to have blood. Why? To take to a cross. Why? To offer the sacrifice. Why? To redeem men from their sins. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. But because God became flesh, he became blood. He took that blood to Calvary's cross and shed it so that you and I can experience what true repentance and forgiveness is all about. Thank God for the blood. Well, let's love him today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I want you to know that there is nothing that gets the enemy stirred up like when you began to preach and to talk about the oneness of God. Amen. Why? It's because anything other than the oneness of God is a false doctrine. And that false doctrine is what has separated man from God. Amen. It's not, amen, a new thing. It's not even a new thing back in, amen, when the Council of Nicaea came back in 325 A.D., but amen, Joshua told him, and he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods plurality on the other side of Noah's flood, amen, or the God of today. I'm so thankful that we still understand who God is. I'm still so thankful that we still espouse there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You know why the devil wants you to think that there's more than one God? Because when you do that, you're in sin. Because Jesus said, except ye believe that I am he, you shall perish in your sins. When you don't believe that Jesus is God, you won't ask him for forgiveness. You won't ask him to help you. You won't ask for healing. But when you understand that the God Almighty loved you enough that he came down and to dwelt among you, amen, to be able to offer a sacrifice, he was the high priest and the sacrifice to set your soul free. He didn't love you so that he would send somebody else. He loved you in that he came himself. Hallelujah. You've got a right to worship him. You've got a right to lift him up. You've got a right to make a joyful noise. You've got a right to rejoice because God loved you. God came down. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. When you didn't know what truth was, there was a God that said, I'm going to make a way for you before you need a way. I'm going to give an answer unto you before you need an answer. Before you've got the question, I've got the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Lift him up. Lift him up. Come on, the devil hates this. The devil hates this.
But we're not here to appease him. We're here to magnify the one true and the living God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God is one Lord.
And this is what John has said. I'm going to declare him unto you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Amen. You go all the way back into the beginning, and he starts off with the emphatic declaration that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. The Genesis, the book of beginnings, it has been called the seed plot of the entire Bible because there is such a vast forest of scripture and of doctrine that is born right here in Genesis, even in Genesis 1, as simple little seedlings. In the first verse of scripture, God sweeps aside atheism by simply asserting his existence. In the beginning, God, amen, he sweeps aside polytheism by declaring himself to be the one. In the beginning, God, not the gods, not a God, but God, amen, created. In this beginning, he sweeps aside pantheism by separating himself from all of matter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen, the earth is not God. The heavens are not God. It's not some celestial spirit that is all together. God said, no, I, the Lord, created all of it. Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Amen. The earth is not God. God declares, I am the Lord your God, and I created it. In the man here in the first chapter of the Bible, we find that it is the most God-centered chapter in the entire Bible. God is mentioned some 32 times in 31 verses. And if you add in all the personal pronouns, you will see that God is mentioned no less than 41 times in this first chapter. Amen. But even though it is so emphatically declared and put forth, the enemy knows that, amen, his only hope is to get you separated from God Almighty. And this is what happened with Adam and Eve when he was in the garden. And we see the enemy coming in chapter number 3. And the first thing that the enemy does is he questions the authority of God. Amen. He questions the authority of God. Did God say that if you eat of this, you shall surely die? And they said, yes, God did say it. Number 2, amen, the devil begins to refute the authority of God. It starts with questioning it, and then it goes to refuting it. He said, that's not what's going to happen. That's not what's going to happen. Did God say that? Yes, he did, but that's not what's going to happen. And he convinced them. How did he convince them? He separated them. He separated them from the true God. Amen. He put distance. He put enmity. Amen. Between man and God. Amen. Through this. Amen. They began to question this. And from that day forward, that has been his motive. Amen. And things have never changed. To this day, he is still questioning. Amen. And the authority of God. He wants to question everything the man of God says. He wants to question everything the Bible says. He wants to question and say, well, that's not meant for us at this time. He wants to refute it and say, that's just for the Bible times. That's just for Bible days. I just got a question for you. If that's just for Bible days, when did God Almighty, who never changes, amen, the same yesterday, today, and forever, when did he become a respecter
answer of persons. It can't happen. It can't happen. Amen. But if that was for Bible days and it's not for us today, then God has become a respecter of person, and he is holding them accountable for something he's not holding us accountable for unto this day. Can you point me to the day? Can you point me to the day, to the month and the day and the year that God's infallible word changed? No, you cannot. But the Bible simply says that though heaven and earth shall pass away, that not one word in this holy script shall ever pass away. And so the enemy's whole desire and his job is to separate you from God, to try whatever he can in order to get you separated from God. But I think that it is of equal importance that we understand who that he is, and that he is the sower of discord. Amen. That he is the accuser of the brethren. And so when you recognize discord being sown, when you recognize the accuser's words coming, you need to understand from whence it is coming. Hallelujah. And let us not be guilty of doing the devil's work for him. Well, glory. I said, let us not be guilty of doing the devil's work for him. We're not going to sow confusion, because we know where confusion comes from. We're not going to sow discord, because God hates those that sow discord. Amen. We're not going to do these things. Amen. But we understand that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The first time that the enemy is mentioned, Genesis chapter number 4, or that sin is mentioned, Genesis 4 and 7. Amen. The Lord was speaking with Cain after that he had sinned. And he told Cain, he said, if thou doest well, then should you not be accepted? But if you don't do well, he said, then sin lieth at the door. Because Job said that man is but a few days and full of trouble. Proverbs 14 and 12 teaches us that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can't do it just however that you feel. You can't decide, well, I'm going to do my own thing. Let me just state this. Feelings are not facts. Amen. That's why none of us, amen, can take this word and just say, I'm going to figure it out on my own. The Bible said that no scripture, amen, is of any private interpretation. Amen. You cannot just say, well, we'll sit in a little square and we'll figure out how you feel about it, and then we'll see how I feel about it, and then we don't even have to take a popular majority vote. We'll just agree to disagree, and we'll just feel how we want to feel. No, that's not it. Because every one of us are going to be judged out of the books. It behooves us to find out what the word is saying. How do we do that? Through a preacher. That's how you do that. Because when Philip united himself to the chariot, amen, Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he did not say, no, at this particular time I don't. But if you'll give me a day or two, I'll figure it out on my own. That's not what he said. Amen. He simply said, no. How can I understand except that somebody would come tell me what it's all about? Philip joined himself to the chair and he began to teach and began to open his understanding unto who that God really was. And before it was all said and done, that Ethiopian eunuch understood, and he said, there is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And they stopped the chair and they both went down into the water, and he buried him in baptism. Praise God. I'm so thankful for truth. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's why you're not free today. That's why you're still bound today. That's why you've got addictions today. That's why you've got faults today. Because you don't have the truth, you're not set free. But lo, when the Spirit of truth has come, it will lead you into all truth. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, let's take a little while and magnify him today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The devil doesn't want you to know truth. He'll do everything he can to keep you from truth.
Say, preacher, I'm just not persuaded that all sin matters. All right, let's go back and let's look at some things. Adam and Eve are going to tell you that sin matters. Adam and Eve will tell you that just one fruit, forbidden fruit, got them kicked out of the garden for eternity, forever. Adam and Eve will tell you, amen, that you're going to reap what you sow. Adam and Eve will tell you that your actions are going to have reactions. Adam and Eve are going to tell you that sin does matter. That sin that is put up with will affect your children. And their son Cain is going to tell you that sin matters. And Cain is going to tell you sin will take you further than you ever intended to go. Sin will even have you causing you to murder your brother. Sin does matter. Go ask Achan if sin matters. Achan will tell you that sin doesn't only matter for you, it'll affect all of those that are around you as well. Sin matters. Go ask Judas if sin matters. And Judas will tell you sin matters because it doesn't even matter how close you follow to Jesus Christ himself. If you got sin in your life, it'll separate you and drive you to spiritual suicide. Sin matters. Amen. Sin matters. Sin is going to bind you. Sin is going to afflict you. Sin is going to condemn you. Sin is going to destroy you. Sin is going to cause you to be depressed. You're going to live a life of regret. You're going to live a life of misery, all because of sin. Amen. Amen. I want you to know that all of this will happen with just one sin. But one sin is going to lead to other sins. Because the book of Romans chapter number 5 tells us, amen, that sin abounds. Sin abounds. One commandment in the book of Genesis chapter number 2, amen, goes into 10 commandments in Exodus chapter number 20. But before the Old Testament is done, we have some 670 plus commandments in Jewish law, because where sin is, amen, sin begins to abound and abound and abound. You young people today, you hear me and you listen to me loud and clear. You cannot give place to one sin. Amen. Don't give place to one sin. Amen. Don't condemn everybody else for sinning in some area or the other while you've got one little sin that you harbor. Just that one sin caused Adam and Eve to fall. That one sin caused Cain, amen, to kill his brother. That one sin put Achan's whole family to death. That one sin separated Judas even from God manifest in the flesh.
Amen. It's getting quiet, but it's still right. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You better thank God for a man of God that'll stand up and preach against sin. Sin in all versions, sin in all vices, and sin in all stripes, sin in all colors, sin in all ways. Amen. You better thank God for somebody, whether it's me, whether it's, amen, Brother Worth, amen, whether it's one of the preachers of the local assembly, whether it's an evangelist, whether it's an elder. You better thank God that God loves you enough to get into your business and to wake you up from the vice of sin. You cannot cover sin up and expect to get away with it. Sin has a way of bearing fruit.
Praise God. Praise God. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Now, this is what the enemy would love to put under a magnifying glass and blow up to exponential proportions. This is what the enemy wants to accentuate, is your faults, your problems, your stresses, your worries, your regrets. Sin and the devil wants to magnify condemnation. Because when you've got condemnation in you, it's hard to worship God. I'm not trying to teach somebody how to be a hypocrite here today. Amen. But standing on the wall, I can usually tell something's wrong just by observing your actions. Because sin will bind you up. Oh, you may run the aisles 20 times in one service, but there is something that's just not real about it. There's something that's forced about it. There's something that's not genuine about it. And you're like Moses, trying to cover up a sin. All the time looking around because you got so much condemnation, looking around to see who sees you. If you got to look around before you can post something on this in texting and stuff, there's probably something wrong with it. If you got to text in the secrecy of something, there's probably something wrong with it. If you can view things on this, but you got to constantly look around to see who's coming in, mom, dad, or somebody else that's coming in, there's something wrong with it. And just for your information, I'm going to have a sit-down meeting with all the parents in this congregation. And I am going to expose a lot of things, tricks of the trade, amen, that a lot of parents may or may not know, amen, that the youth of this day and age know. And I'm going to tell every parent, amen, how that their little sweet darlings are getting away with such stuff. I'm not a novice. I've been down this road before. Amen. My kids have been down this road before. Amen. They've tried to hide things from mom and dad before. They've actually hid some things from mom and dad before. But thank God for a praying mom that in the middle of the night woke her up and said, go look at your, go check your son out or whatever. And it was God's mercy that came through. I'm talking to you about the power of an almighty God that loves you enough not to let you and allow you to destroy yourself. Of ways that you can hide even what's on your phone, ghosting, amen, screens and all of this other stuff behind the scenes, amen, that's going on. I even heard, amen, of a young man and girl who were not allowed to contact each other, but they did all the time. And they did it through, I think it was Spotify or something, amen, through their song list. And in their song descriptions, they talked one to another. And because that I know what your song list is, I go to it and I can read your message to me. And then I do the same thing and send it to you. And it's all through something called Spotify. And the list goes on. I'm just simply saying if you want to do wrong, you can do wrong. But there is a God that'll watch over you and that'll help you and that'll do everything he can in order to see you saved. How do we know? John said, I've seen it. I've handled it. I've been in his presence. I've leaned up against him. And I'm here to tell you, I have no bad report. God is good. Praise God. Praise God. Now, with that said, let me just give the young people a little breathing room here. Amen. Through all of this, I'm for young people being young people. Amen. I'm not going to strap them down with collars around their neck so that they can't breathe. I'm going to promote young men liking young ladies. And I'm definitely promoting young ladies liking young men. I don't want young men liking young men. I don't want young ladies liking young ladies. Amen. Praise God. But we're not here to accentuate that. Amen. We're here to say that God is good. God's good. God's good. God's good. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. John said, I've got the testimony. Oh, yeah. John said, I've got the testimony. He said, I have a testimony and I need to share it with you so that your joy can be full. Amen. The devil's got you beat down. The devil's got you depressed. The devil's got you messed up. But I'm here to share this testimony so that your joy may be full. It's in the book of John, chapter number 10, and verse number 10, where Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But thank God, John didn't stop writing there. Amen. But he continued on with what Jesus said. The one that he had seen with his eyes, felt with his hands, heard with his ears. Amen. And he repeated and wrote down what Jesus said. And Jesus said, but I have come to give you life. Amen. And life more abundantly. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Sin lied at the door. There in the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. Amen. Sin was sitting at the doorstep just like your FedEx parcel or your UPS package that sits there. Amen. But in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Amen. Jesus looks at sin lying at the door and Jesus knocks. And he said, behold, I stand knocking. And if any man hears, if he will open up unto me, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Romans chapter number 5 said, amen, that sin abounded. But Paul said that's not the end of the story. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. Paul said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, praise God. And so there is joy that is to be had. There is joy that is to be had. And this is what John writes, and I'm getting ready to close. But this is what John writes. And he simply says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifest unto us. It wasn't just a spirit. And we have seen it and bear witness. We got a lot of stories and testimonies to talk about. And show unto you that eternal life. Amen. How am I going to show that eternal life? Amen. He said, because if I go away, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Amen. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. John 14 and 27. Amen. That Comforter is there, and the Comforter is living down now on the inside. Amen. And there it is. And John said, we're going to talk to you about this eternal life, not this eternal condemnation, not this eternal judgment that can be placed upon you, but I want to share unto you about the abilities of an almighty God, amen, who can give you life everlasting, amen. It was manifest unto us, that which we have seen. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Peter said, I can only talk about the things which we have seen and heard. Acts chapter number 4. Oh, thank God. And John said, that which we have seen and heard. I'm going to share my testimony unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. Woo. What's going on? Here's a body of depressed people. Here's a body of oppressed saints. Here's a body that's bound up by whatever condemnation or regret that is upon them. Here's a body, amen, that's not fluent, that's not acting like they need to be. Amen. And John said, I got your answer. Amen. What is your answer? I'm just going to give you my testimony. That's what I'm going to do. Amen. Because we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our
heart testimony. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that you got to stand up in testimony service, amen, to have a testimony. But that means wherever you see somebody, whenever you see somebody, brother or sister, and you see somebody, amen, they're not in here today, but Brother Charlie and Sister Stacy started talking about the man that they found, and they just gave him a testimony. You have got a testimony of where God brought you from. You've got a testimony of where God kept you from. You've got a testimony of what God's delivered you from. And if you say God hasn't delivered you, amen, from such as this, amen, you look around inside this church house. There is a body of believers that God has delivered them from something. I'm here to tell you that God is still a deliverer. God is still a healer. God is still a way maker. God is still, amen, in the saving business, because God is God. And the devil wants to beat you down. He wants to do all of this. But John said, I got your answer. I'm just going to give my testimony. What kind of testimony do you have, John? Oh, I'm so glad that you asked. Amen. And I can tell you these things because I sat down with him. I listened to him. I heard his teachings. I watched him as he stopped funeral possessions and raised the dead. I watched him as he reached down upon a man with palsy and picked him up and said, son, thy sins be forgiven unto you. I watched people looked at him and say, this man's a blasphemer. Amen. Nobody can say that they forgive sins but God himself. And Jesus looked at him. He said, is it easier for me to say thy sins be forgiven or to take up your bed and walk? Amen. But what he was saying is, I'm going to deal with the most important things first. If God never heals you of your ailment, if he can forgive you of your sins, that's all that matters. If God were to never heal you of cancer, but he forgave you of sin and took you through the pearly gates, that's all that matters. Can he heal of cancer? Absolutely. And he can do what he wants because that he is God. God may not ever heal you of the chronic pain, but if God is faithful unto you and is able to forgive you of your sins, that's all that matters. Because one of these days, the testimony of the Bible says that corruption is, amen, incorruption. Corruption is going to put on incorruption. That mortality is going to take on immortality. And we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And the pain is going to vanquish. Amen. The illness, amen, the sickness, and all of these things are going to disappear. And when we are in heaven and standing upon streets of gold, we're going to look at the one that saved us and we're going to testify and say, it was worth it. Every long mile, every heartache, every battle, every mountain, every valley, it was worth it. Let's stand here this morning. John says, these things we declare unto you that your joy may be full. When you start hearing somebody else's testimony that God brought them through like situations, God delivered them from like addictions, God helped them in like circumstances, something just causes you to pick up, lift your head up and say, you know what? I think I can make this too. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I believe that there are those that are on high that have gone before us. That cancer racked their body. And they're looking down and they're saying, you can do it. We did it. You can do it. They made it. They made it. And you can too. I'm so thankful that John didn't end there. But he went on just a little bit further. And he said, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not.
sin. Here's where your joy comes in. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sins. John says, mine and yours. But not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. I've come to tell you today that there is a God that can make you whole. I've come to tell you today that there is a God that can wash away your sins. I've come to tell you today that I don't care where you've been, how far you have gone, there is an altar of forgiveness that you can experience. Why? Because I've been there. I've been there. Say, Brother Callum, but you're a preacher. Surely you did right. I wish that I did right. I wouldn't have so many scars on my life. Amen. But you see, I got a lot of scars on my life, a lot of regrets that is there. But I can tell you about an altar. I can tell you about a God who opened up his arms with loving kindness. And when I came unto him and I asked him to forgive me, he was just and able to forgive me of my sins. Amen. His mercy was everlasting. His truth still endures even unto this generation. And that same God, amen, has got the same thing for you. I can stand up here and I can smile, and it's not because I'm not going through things. It's not because I haven't fought things yesterday or the day before. It's because I know that I've got a God. I've experienced him. I've sat around with him. I've communed with him, amen, in prayer service. I felt his awesome presence, amen, when I come into this place. Amen. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. But in his presence, his fullness, in his presence, his fullness of joy. Peter looked and he said, oh, I may have been through a lot of things, but I can tell you, amen, this Holy Ghost, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. These altars are open here today. I don't have time to tell you about the joy that hit the upper room when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. I don't have time to tell you about the joy that happened in Samaria and they didn't even have the Holy Ghost. But what they did have was truth. What they did have was a testimony. I don't have time to talk to you, amen, about all of these other things. Oh, but I can tell you that the Word of God is replete over and over and over and over again about the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. With joy, with joy, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you need joy today, you've come to the right place. Amen. There is a God of heaven that can give you that joy. If you're bound up, there's a God that can deliver you. Amen. If you got sin in your life, there's a God that can forgive you. It doesn't matter where you are. Amen. Oh, yes, it doesn't matter where you are. That which was from the beginning, he has not changed. And I've seen him with my eyes. I've felt him with my hands. I've heard him with my ears. Him I have come to declare unto you and to tell you these things so that your joy may be full. You can experience the same joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, why don't we lift the Lord up here today? Hallelujah. Oh, it's time to lift up the Lord. It's time to lift him up and to magnify him. It's not time to put on sackcloth and ashes. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to buckle down under condemnation. If you need to repent, God is here to forgive you of your sin. Amen. But repent of your sin. Amen. And then let the joy of the Lord come upon you and over you today. Put on the garments of praise. Put on the garments of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. We're not advocating dancing around sin. Amen. But we're not going to feel beat down when we've got a God that's able to pick us up.